Well, if you have a Bible, open it. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 17 this morning. And we are continuing in our series through the book of Genesis. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one near one of the seats around you. Pick it up. If you don't have a Bible or kind of are investigating Christianity, not sure what's this all about, there's a little bookshelf in the foyer back there that has Bibles and other Christian resources. Please pick up anything of interest to you and take it as our gift to you. We're just really glad that you are here this morning, and we pray that God would use this time in your life. And before we get into the text in Genesis 17, let's go to the author of this word. Father, it is only because of your astounding, amazing grace that we can enter into your presence. But Lord, because of that, because of what Jesus has done, your word tells us we can come and we can enter in with boldness and confidence to receive mercy and grace in our time of need. So Lord, we come before you, and if we're honest, we recognize almost every moment of every day is our time of need. We are broken in so many ways. We chase after so many things that aren't of you. We seek to do things in our own strength. We seek to accomplish our purposes and have your blessing on our plans instead of listening to you and responding to what you would have us do. Yet, Lord, you're gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open your word to us this morning, that you would speak to every individual heart here. Lord, we recognize that we're all coming from different places. But Lord, you are the God of this universe. You are the God who created the immensity of the galaxies and the universe in which those galaxies sit with a word. And you are able to minister to each of our hearts. So we just ask your Holy Spirit to do that here this morning. Call us back to you, Lord. Refresh us if we have grown weary. Challenge us if we have grown complacent. Chastise us if we have become disobedient. But Lord, we know that in all of those things, you're working for the good of those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. Lord, you are for us. You are not against us. Help us to surrender to your loving embrace. Use me, I pray, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Last week, we looked at chapter 16 of Genesis, and it was not a high point in Abram and Sarai's life. They had been given this promise from God, starting all the way back in chapter 12, that Abram was going to be a great nation, and from the very beginning, his wife was barren. She could have no children, and then that promise was reiterated again in chapter 15, and still Sarah had no children. And so they decided that they would help God out a little bit. They had gotten tired of waiting. They knew the promise was from God, and so we're going to try and make this happen in our own strength, by our own abilities. And we saw kind of the disastrous results of that happening, and we still, I think, even to this day, as you look at the Middle East and the conflict between the descendants of Ishmael and those even in his own household, there's been challenge and violence and war from the get-go. But because of God's grace, he doesn't put us on the shelf when we blow it. When we try to do things in our own strength and in our own way to accomplish what we want to happen in our timing. We're looking at the beginning of chapter 17, and this is 13 years after what was recorded in chapter 16. 13 years, lots of time to wait, lots of time to think. We're not aware, Scripture doesn't give us any evidence of God's direct communication to Abram in this time. So I don't know what's going on in his heart and in his mind at this time. If he's thinking, well, maybe it is going to come through Ishmael. Maybe he is going to be the one that God is going to bless me through and enable me to become this father of many people and a blessing to all nations. But I think as time went along, he just realized that, you know, this is just not working out like I planned. There was all sorts of conflict in his home, challenged because of this, and he kept going forward. And so I thought about this. It's like, this is true, I think, in a lot of believers' lives, isn't it? We come to Christ, we get to know God, we start that process of growing in our relationship with God, and we trust Christ as our Savior and our Lord, but the full implications of that are not yet being fleshed out in our lives. We're still holding on to parts of our lives that we want to control. We know the promises of God, but you know, there's other things that are really, really important to me, and if I have to help out God a little bit, if I have to fudge a little bit, I maybe have to do that. And God, in his mercy and his grace, doesn't immediately come and put the hammer down. But in his grace, often he allows us to come to the end of our rope. He gives us what we want sometimes to enable us to recognize that what we want is not really what we need. And I think that's kind of where Abram is at this point. It's one of those, God, I've tried everything else. I guess I'll pray right now. I guess I'll do it your way right now. When we finally get to that point where, because of some maybe besetting sin in our life, some situation that comes into our life, we say, I just can't. I can't do this. I cannot be a Christian. I cannot live up to the standard. I just can't do it. And God says, I've been waiting for this moment for a long time. Because when we, I think, finally admit that we can't, the Lord will often arrive on the scene and say, you know what? I will. Turn to me and I will. What did Jesus say? Apart from me, you can do. A lot of us don't really believe that if we look at how our lives are lived out. And I think you see Abram and Sarah in the last chapter trying to accomplish God's purpose, trying to do a lot of stuff apart from their relationship with God. And it's not that you can't do anything apart from that relationship, but you can't do anything that is blessing on others, that makes an impact for the cause of the kingdom, that is ultimately beneficial for others. And so here we pick up the story, and Abram's 99 years old, and Sarah still has not had a baby, and he's been waiting, and God shows up again. So let's pick up in verse 1 of chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give you to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abram, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or brought with you, bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. And any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations, and kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abram took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. Abram was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abram and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought with the money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. This is a reading of God's word. So here we have Abram, soon to be called Abraham. 13 years have passed, and God is still reaching out to Abram. And he's revealing new aspects of who he is. He says to Abram in verse 1, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. I am the God who is able to control things. I am the one that is over all things and able to do what I say I am going to do. I think as we grow with God, God increases our understanding of who he is and aspects of his character. One of the theme verses of our church is to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As we grow in that knowledge and the grace of who Jesus is, there's more and more and more that God reveals of himself. If God is infinite and he's eternal, then throughout our lives and on into eternity, there's going to be aspects of his character that he can show to us. We live in a day and age where relationships are really important. That's what makes life worth living, right? And we have this incredible privilege as believers to be in a relationship with the God of the universe. Think of the most interesting, beautiful, dynamic, amazing person you know. And just the ability to sit down, you know, your wives, right? Yeah, your husbands, yeah, right. Okay, for those of you who are married. Other than that person, but just think of the reality of being able to get to know the God of the universe in that way. As he shares who he is with us. And here, God has revealed himself to Abram. He's already been made righteous through his faith, but here's a deeper aspect of his character that he wants Abram to understand. I'm God Almighty. I'm the God that's able to handle this. And so he reveals himself to Abram in this way, and Abram falls down on his face before him. And what happened last time when God showed up? Abram just went into a deep sleep, right? But here we have Abram worshiping God, I think, in a deeper and a richer way. He's revealing himself. Abram, I've got this, right? I am God Almighty. I know you're facing a situation that humanly, from your perspective, it's impossible. But it's not impossible for me. And I think sometimes in our day and age, we've made God kind of manageable and small. And God shows up to Abram and he says, I am God Almighty. And Abram falls face down. I can handle it. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life right now. But what I do know is that God Almighty is able to get you through that situation if you depend on him and trust in Him. And we forget sometimes the immensity of God, the mightiness of God, the majesty of God. And I think God's been trying to show this to Abram. Abram, go outside, look up at the stars. I'm the one that created all this. Come on, see who I really am. Have your picture of me bust through the frame, because I'm the eternal, infinite God. I'm God Almighty. And so Abram falls on his face before the Lord. And he says, Abram, I'm gonna show you some of my might right now. Your name used to mean exalted father. How's that working out for you? I wonder sometimes if, as we struggle with God, he gives us a name that we have not quite yet lived up to, right? And we struggle with that. I think of Peter, you know. Jesus says, I'm gonna call you rock, stable rock. What do we know of Peter? He was anything but stable, right? He was anything but rock-like. But then you read his letters, 1st and 2nd Peter. They're the letters of hanging in there under persecution. Peter was the one that initially, when a slave girl came up to him and said, weren't you hanging out with Jesus? He called down curses on himself. I don't even know that guy. What happened? Did Peter all of a sudden get it all together and figure it out? No. He encountered the risen Savior, and that Savior began to transform his life by the Holy Spirit. And then he said, you know, I don't care whatever they do to me. I know I have a hope, so hang in there when it gets tough. Sometimes, I think like Abram, we try to be Abe Almighty or Brett Almighty. And we're going to figure it out. We're going to make it happen. We're going to work this thing. And I think God graciously allows us to see that, you know what, Brett Almighty, it doesn't have what it takes. In fact, he's not almighty at all. And when we get to that place where we understand, God, you're almighty and I'm not, and I need you, and I fall on my face before you, and then I begin to trust you to accomplish through my life what I can never do on my own. I can't change myself. I can't make these things happen, God. I've tried in my strength for so long, but you're able, and I need to remember that. So help me to remember that. And you got to remember that Abram is the grandfather of Jacob, right? Jacob's the schemer. He's going to make this happen. He's going to figure it out. He's going to do all that kind of stuff, right? So I think there's probably some of that is, I can do this. And God gets into the room, yeah, no, you can't. And I think for some of us, especially for those of you who are really talented and gifted, sometimes God lets you go a little bit farther down that road of self-reliance. But he will get you to that place where you throw your hands up and say, I can't. When Gary was sharing, he's like, I'm on the mission field. I don't want to do that. I can't do this anymore. Just forget it. I've been there too. I don't want to do this anymore, God. I'm just done. And God says, oh, good. I'm glad you're at that place. Because if you ever thought you were going to be able to accomplish what I want you to accomplish through your own strength and through your own abilities, that would never happen. So it's really good to have you here. It's not a fun place to be, though. And so God shows up. And he brings Abram to this new stage in his relationship with the Lord. God said to him, verse 4, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. The promise is just getting bigger, right? I no longer shall call your name Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Huh? I have made you? At this point in time, but God knows what he's going to accomplish. So even when it is not yet accomplished, God says, I've made you. This is as good as done. As good as done, so much so that I'm going to put this in the past tense. I've made you the father of many nations already. And because of that, I will establish my covenant with you, and I want you to walk before me and be blameless. I love that metaphor of walking with God. We're not running with God. As I'm running with God, I know he's able to outrun me every time. But nor am I sitting I'm walking with God. It's a pace at which we can interact, we can communicate, we can talk. I'm going in a direction, but I'm walking with God Almighty. So when I do that, I need to recognize, you know, who's setting the direction of the journey? Is that me? No, it's God. He allows me to walk before Him, and He wants me to walk in a blameless way. Now, we read that blameless, and it doesn't mean sinless. But this idea of with sincere integrity, with wholeness, with completeness before God. I'm to walk with Him as fully His, recognizing that I am walking before Him. He's aware of everything going on in my life. Not because He's ready to stomp me out, but because He knows what I need and He's able to give correction and change and mid-course directions that I need to respond to. Enoch was the first one in Genesis that said he walked with God, right? Enoch walked with God and he was no more. He walked right into the presence of God. Who else? Anybody? Who else walked with God and was blameless? Quiz, quiz, quiz. Who? Yeah, before that, so far in Genesis. Enoch walked with God. John, no. Noah. Okay, you guys got to go back, do a little study in here. Failed this little pop quiz, but you know I'm gracious too, so I'll let you off. But Noah walked with God and was blameless before Him in his generation. And it's that idea of no one can blame me for something. Not that I haven't done anything, but when I fall short, I go to God. I confess that. There's no skeletons in my closet. Who I am is a whole person, complete before God. And it's not that I don't have anything that I've messed up, but it's that that stuff has been made clean by God. And so He says, Abram, walk before me and be blameless. I want us to come to a new place of our relationship. I want you to walk regularly with me, before me, in integrity. So Abram humbly responds with worship. And God says, I'm going to be your God. I'm going to be the God of the generations after you. And He reveals Himself to Abram, who is humbly bowing before Him. Folks, God speaks to us when we're ready to listen. But when we don't want to listen to Him, why should we expect Him to speak to our hearts? If we're going our way, if we're doing it our own way, God's going to say, okay, have at it. See how that works out for you. But when we get to the end of our rope there and we humbly bow before God and say, God, I'm like Samuel, speak now. Your servant's listening. I want to hear what you have to say about my life. Because Abram can look back and say, yeah, I've kind of made a mess of things these last 13 years. I want to hear what you have to say. And then God says, these are all these blessings. And as you look through this covenant, it's I will, I will, I will, I will. I will, God is saying, I am going to do all of this stuff. I'm taking it all on my shoulders. We looked at that covenant that God walked through in the form of that smoking fire and pot that walked through there. And it was like, I am taking responsibility to fulfill this. And we see that again here. I'm going to do all this. And as for you, verse 9, Abram, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you. And this is my covenant which shall keep. And he gives this rite of circumcision that was a sign of the covenant. That wasn't the covenant, but that was a sign of the promise of this relationship between Abram and his God to walk in obedience before me. Folks, to experience the reality of God's promises in our lives, God often asks us to cut off a portion of our flesh, to recognize that we cannot do it in our own effort. And here we have this symbol, and this rite of circumcision wasn't new to the Jews. It was used in other cultures at that time, often as a rite of passage. When guys reached manhood, sometimes in cultures it was used before a guy got married. But this is not something new in that sense of never having been experienced in this world, but this is new in terms of what it means right now. Why circumcision? I think because this is the means by which the promise is going to be fulfilled. And God wants Abram to make sure that he understands this is from me. This is a result of my work, not yours. And so Abram submits to that and he obeys immediately. It was painful. And sometimes when God asks us to cut junk out of our life, our flesh, it is painful. Because we're looking at that stuff and we're saying, this is part of me. I can't live without this. And God says, you need to trust me. And we know even from the Old Testament that circumcision, it was an outside, exterior ritual that was done as a sign of something deeper. Jeremiah 4:4 says, you're to circumcise your hearts. What I really want is a heart that's responsive and tender to me. That's what I want. And you can go through this rite and your heart can be far from me. And that's what happened to the Jews. They began to look at the rite as more important and more significant than what that rite symbolized, their covenant relationship with God. And they would blow off God and say, no, because we've got this rite, we're good. We're not like those Gentile dogs out there. And God says, no, that's not what I'm after here. Similarly, we have a rite, the rite of baptism that we participate in, but that rite does not save us. It's a symbol, it's a sign of the new covenant, that it's our death to our old self and our resurrection to new life in Jesus Christ. But that rite does not confer some super spiritual standing. It is an act of obedience that symbolizes something, that's a sign of something. It's a sign of our relationship with God. And so Abram is obedient to God and follows through. And then there's more good news that God gives to Abram. Here is that Sarah is going to be the mother of the child of promise. And he laughs, right? It's like, are you? And we're not sure here if it's laughter of joy, like, I can't believe this is going to happen, this is incredible, or if it's laughter of incredulity. We're not told. But God says, verse 19, after Abram says, hey, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. So I'm not really sure if this is completely going to come through. So how about Ishmael? And I'm thinking, okay, Abram for maybe 13 years has been thinking, you know what? Ishmael may be the one. He may be the one, and he's invested in this child, and then God shows up, and it's like, no, what you did, that's not the way. That was in your own flesh, in your own strength. The child of the promise is going to come through your barren wife, Sarai, and I'm going to name her Sarah. Now, both Sarai and Sarah mean princess. When there's an I at the end of Hebrew words, sometimes it's a possessive, my princess. So I don't know if, you know, Sarai, you know, the baby girl's born. Oh, my princess. You know, this is, and if Abram now, you know, is the wife, she's my princess, you know. And now God says, no, she's not just your princess. She is going to be a princess of many nations. So we're taking that little possessive off the end there and making her Sarah, princess, because many nations are going to come through her. And can you imagine Abram going home and talking to Sarah after this? Hey, baby, God just talked to me. Reminded of a story, I've told this before, of an older couple, and the wife is a little bit complaining, and she says, you know, honey, you never whisper sweet nothings in my ear anymore. And so they get into bed and cuddle up together, and he starts whispering some sweet nothings in her ear. So, you know, baby, you never kind of give me a shoulder massage anymore. So the husband with a sigh starts giving her a shoulder massage. And then she says, honey, you never nibble on my neck like you used to. And he throws the covers up, gets off, storms out of bed, and she says, well, what's the matter? So I'm going to get my dentures. That they were at a stage in their life where this was going to be miraculous. And we'll see the result of that promise later on. But God is faithful to this couple who have waited all these years, who have tried to do it in their own strength and fallen on their face, who now are dealing with a home that has strife and challenge and difficulty in it because of the choices they made. But the beauty of our gracious God is that He keeps showing up and He keeps loving this couple. And He keeps promising. And He says, I want you to trust me. I'm God Almighty. I can accomplish what I say I will accomplish. Are you willing to wait for me? And are you willing to trust in my way of accomplishing this? Philippians 3:3 says this, we, talking to the church, we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. God wants us to go before Him and to recognize our complete need of His work in us and through us to accomplish His purposes in our lives. But when we do that, the amazing thing is that God shows up and He accomplishes those things. As we keep trying to do stuff in our own strength, in our own way, in our own time, I think God continually allows us to be frustrated. And He'll wait sometimes a long time for us to get to the end of that rope, won't He? For me, it was about 4 years of trying to do it in my flesh and just giving up. And God saying, come on, man. You almost ready to acknowledge you can't do it? Not yet. Okay. We'll go down this road a little farther. But God in His grace did not let me go. He grabbed a hold of me. He showed up again and He said, you know what? I'm God Almighty. Are you going to respond to me? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to follow me? Are you going to be obedient to me? So I don't know where you are this morning with the Lord, but He is God Almighty. And He wants all of you to walk in a blameless way before Him. Not because He's out to micromanage your life and just be this ogre, but because He wants what's best for you. He's for us. He wants us to walk in His strength before Him to accomplish His purpose and His plans. So I don't know where you are this morning. If there's some aspect of your life that needs to be cut off, or you've been trying to do it on your own, you've been trying to manage it on your own, and God is saying, you need to give that up and you need to trust in me and my way of doing things. Maybe a desire for fame or recognition. Maybe a desire for stuff, a desire to control your life or others' lives. It may be a desire to be a good Christian, but to be a good Christian in your power and your strength. And God says, I am God Almighty. Will you allow me to be who I am in your life? Will you let go? Will you cut off those things where you're trying to control everything? And will you let me rule and reign? I'm a God that wants to walk with you. I'm not here to crush you. For those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1 says what? There's no condemnation. But we can walk stupidly. We can walk our own way. And God will let us go a distance, but then He says, come on, come back. So if God is showing up this morning and saying, I'm God Almighty to you. And He's pointing out some area in your life where He wants you to trust Him and to follow Him. I strongly urge you to respond to that. Because it's a God that desires your best, desires to fulfill his promises in your life. And you may not figure that I can't do that, I don't have what it takes. And God says, I know that, knucklehead. I've known that all along. I want you to recognize that, and I want you to humbly bow before me, surrender to me, and then walk with me and see where the journey will lead. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for just this revelation of Abraham and his relationship before you. And Lord, I so relate to this guy in his attempts to do even good things, but to do it in his way, in his time, and in his strength. Lord, I also can relate to the frustration of waiting. Yet, Lord, you are truly good. You truly have our best at heart. You are for us, for all of us who have trusted you. So, Lord, help us to recognize that you are God Almighty in our lives, that we don't have to control all things, but we can humbly come before you, acknowledge our need, our dependence, and trust you to fulfill your purposes and plans for us, even if they may seem laughable at the time, Lord. You will accomplish your purpose in your way and in your timing. Lord, help us to be responsive to you, to hear your voice, to respond like Abram with rapid obedience, so that you can bless us as you desire. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.